Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
It remains a very hot topic here in BC. About a year after we decriminalized a certain number of illegal drugs here, we talk about safe supply, and it's contentious. And now we're 6 months away from a provincial election. Is there time still to either show that this is effective or change our minds about this? Well, if you ask the opposition, they've got thoughts about this. And joining us now is Kevin Falcon, leader of BC United. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Do you think we've reached that point where it's time to say this doesn't work?
Well, frankly, I think we could have reached that point many months ago. We said from the outset, the reason BC United opposed this reckless decriminalization, and I say reckless, is because they did not do the critical things necessary to make sure that if you're going to do this, you do it without the disaster that has unfolded. The first is making sure, as we pointed out, that there are guardrails in place to ensure that there's not just going to be an explosion of open drug use in our parks, playgrounds, beaches, et cetera. The NDP government refused for the better part of a year to just put in reasonable restrictions that say that people aren't allowed to openly use drugs in our playgrounds and parks and beaches and public spaces. And when they finally did bring in a very poorly drafted law, it got held up in the courts immediately. And in the meantime, the open drug use is everywhere. The second thing they didn't do is they refused to release data transparently. The federal government even suggested this to them when they're going ahead with this project, to make sure that they let the public know what is the data showing so that we know whether it's working or not. They've refused to do so. The Auditor General pointed out they've got that data. They just refused to release it. And I'll tell you why. It's because they know it's bad. And the third thing is, as we've always said at BC United, this should be about focusing on treatment and recovery. That ought to be our primary focus, is helping people get better. And frankly, this whole experiment has gone exactly how it went in Oregon, very badly.
Is there a way to keep it so that it can still be effective by doing all those things that you talked about? Like, is it a part of a plan to fix things, or do you think, no, it's too far gone now?
It's too far gone now, to be candid. And that's why I've said, should I become premier, I would end it within 30 days. And the reason is that what we have to do is we have to get things right. The big investment and focus we have to make is on treatment and recovery. We have to help people get better. We've got to stop this policy of publicly supplied addictive drugs. The government's obsessed with this idea of just handing out free drugs to people struggling with addiction. That alone is not enough. I've said this so often, because what we're doing is seeing a huge amount of drug diversion. That means that the drugs are being taken because they're free, but they're being sold to drug dealers who then sell them to our kids in high schools and colleges. And that has created a more widespread opioid epidemic, not unlike what we saw across North America when Purdue Pharmacy and others were, pushing a lot of dangerous opioid drugs through doctors. And that was under a clinical setting. Now, these drugs are just being handed out without any clinical supervision whatsoever. And so that's created another further explosion of drug use and addiction. So I just think the whole experiment's gone so far off the rails that David Eby and the NDP have to take responsibility for this and say, we're ending this madness and we've got to get back to basics and helping people.
You talked about treatment being the answer then. All right, well, how do we ramp up treatment?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, this should have started years ago. So we're very late into the game. But it starts with building purpose-built facilities. In some cases, we need modernized forms of what we used to call Riverview to help those that are dealing with not only addiction issues, but untreated severe mental health issues. And until we realize that leaving people on the streets to be exploited and abused is not compassion, that's the opposite of compassion, and we make investments to look after folks in a secure setting with 24/7 psychiatric and medical supports, we're never going to deal with the problems that we're seeing on the streets. Then you have to support that with investments in the kind of treatment facilities that aren't just 60 and 90 day programs that evidence shows are not very effective at all in helping people. We need programs that are going to be up to 2 years in length so that people can not only work to get off their addiction, but also be treated trained in some life skills so that when they graduate from the program, they can go back into the community with some skill sets and become participating members of society again. It's not something that happens in 30 days, but it is something we have to get started on immediately.
That's also going to be expensive. What about finding the people, the qualified people to do all this work?
Yes, but remember, we are spending a fortune right now that nobody in government apparently even thinks about. Think of all the first responder costs, the police, the ambulance paramedics, the firefighters that are constantly having to go and deal with overdoses again, or drug issues, or the crime associated with the vandalism, the shoplifting, the theft, the people that are going through our healthcare system in and out, our criminal justice system constantly being arrested, released. It's just like this ongoing explosion of money being spent with nobody actually getting better. And so I would argue that the best investment we can make is actually in secure treatment and recovery, because that will start to actually help people get better as opposed to just continuing with this ongoing, I don't know how you describe it, it's almost a circus of nobody getting better and just lots of money being spent.
Right, but you use the word secure treatment. So what does that mean? Are you talking about forcing people into treatment? And does that work? Can you make people get treatment when they don't want to be helped?
Yes, you can actually, because you think about the situation of an individual that has been arrested, you know, probably for the 40th, many of them are prolific offenders. They appear before a judge. The judge usually doesn't want to have to put them in jail, recognizing that they're not necessarily going to get better. Under our plan, what we would do is say door number one is jail. That's the provincial jails, 2 years less a day. Door number two is secure treatment, so that they're still not able to leave, but they will get treatment to get off of their addiction. And I think that's the best dollars that we can spend. And even in the jails, the provincial jails, we've been working, Eleanor Sturco and I and others, on saying, why don't we help turn our provincial jails into having built-in treatment centers there too? So that since we've already got them there, let's at least try and help get them off their addiction. So it's got to be a full court press to do everything we can to make sure that treatment is always being offered as an option.
So are you talking about the end of decriminalization and the end of safe supply programs?
Yes. Safe supply should only be taking place under clinical supervision, meaning that you've either got a doctor or a nurse there witnessing that they're taking their replacement drug to get them off their own drugs. And it should be attached to, again, moving people towards treatment. What's been happening now is the government has basically taken the approach, we're just going to keep handing out lots of free government drugs and hope that somehow that gets people better. Nobody is getting better under this approach. In fact, the evidence shows people are getting dramatically worse, and the overdose death rates are the highest we've ever seen in history. So my pretty simple theory in life is, if you're doing something and getting really bad results, doing more of the same will not get you different results. You have to do something different. And that's why we're going to move in a dramatically different direction.
Okay, I understand the emphasis on treatment. Yes, we need to do that. But doing all those, getting rid of decriminalization, getting rid of safe supply, how does that fix the toxic drug problem? How do you get the toxicity out of the drugs then?
Well, that's where you have to back the police, and you've got to make sure that you're doing everything, working with other provinces, working with the police and the ports, making sure that you're interdicting the supplies for the fentanyl and other toxic chemicals and precursors that are being used to, frankly, kill a lot of our citizens. So that is a policing effort. That's making sure that we do everything we can to ensure that the organized criminal gangs that are benefiting from the misery out there are feeling a lot of heat, while at the same time we're doing everything possible to educate our kids, because what you want to do is make sure that we're not going to have the next generation falling into the addiction cycle. And right now, there's almost no education whatsoever in the school system about the very extreme dangers of drugs. That ought to be a real focus so that we don't allow the next generation to get caught up in the nightmare of addiction to very highly toxic, dangerous drugs.
Well, thanks very much for your time this morning.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Simi.
That's Kevin Falcon, leader of BC United, talking about what his party would do if they were to win the election. End of decriminalization, end of safe supply, lots more emphasis on treatment. But does that fix a toxic drug supply, which is kind of at the root of this issue, too? Now, I should mention we did request to speak with Jennifer Whiteside, the Minister of Mental Health and Addictions. They do have some upcoming discussions with the federal counterpart talking about this particular issue and how to fix things. We talked all about, discussing that here, but she was unavailable. So we'll keep on that because clearly there has to be some kind of change. Is there going to be one, though? That is the question. If you want to weigh in, Simi at cknw.com.